Today, I will be reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. I will be reading from the American Standard Version. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit unto the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus, that they might do concerning him after the custom of the law, then he received him into his arms, and blessed God, and said, Now lettest thou thy servant depart, Lord, according to thy word, in peace. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, all the glory of thy people Israel. And his father and his mother were marveling at the things which were spoken concerning him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which is spoken against. Yea, and a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, that thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed.
What an honor it is to be here this morning as we come to worship God and to encourage one another in the most holy faith. I do want to say from the onset that it is a blessing to see this number here on this morning, for we know that you have come to be encouraged. We know that you have come to hear what thus saith the Lord. We hope, pray, and trust that our worship has been pleasing unto the Lord to this point, and that after the lesson is completed, that the Lord is still pleased. All month, we have been talking about the heart. We have been discussing all year, arising out of sleep and awaking to righteousness. And today is no different as we continue our thought process concerning the hearts of men, our hearts. When we consider the heart, for those who may not be aware, it is the seat of emotions. Man is made up of a trio of powers. He's made up of spirit, soul, and body. Man has the power to think, to feel, and to act. We know that because all of us have the emotion at times of anger. Some have the emotion of joy and love, and peace and kindness. When we consider some of these things and we think about our emotions, our intellect, our will, it is something that all of us have to be mindful of, that the God of heaven sees our emotions, our will, our intellect. In Proverbs 15 and verse number 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. We know this because God is the one that weighs the spirit. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 2. When we consider this, we know that God knows every single thought, every single emotion, every single intention, desire, aspirations, and goals that we have. Reminded of what the Hebrews writer said in Hebrews 4 and verse number 12 about the word of God and how it is able to even divide the soul and spirit, the thoughts and intents. And then in verse number 13, the Bible clearly demonstrates to us that everything is open and naked to the eyes of him to whom we have to do. Now that's interesting, especially with the theme of this month concerning the heart, concerning how we think, our emotions, having the power to think, to feel, to act. And the reason why God can do this, not just because he's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, meaning that he knows all things, sees all things, he is everywhere. But the Hebrews writer again says in Hebrews 12 and verse number 9 that he is the Father of spirits. Numbers chapter 27 and verse number 16. He is the Father of spirits. If anybody knows what's going on in the minds of people, it is the God of the universe. Paul would say in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. We consider that thought and we think about our minds and the things that saturate our minds at times. Praise God that he has given us an avenue that we can have our minds cleansed. So thankful on that day in which we were baptized into Christ, God washed away all of our sins in the blood of his Son, Hebrews 9:15. But there's a purpose for this. And the purpose is, friends, is that God wants us to dwell on his commandments. 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 5, now the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart, good conscience, sincere faith. We consider these thoughts, friends, and God wants us to have pure minds that is dwelling on his commandments. You think about this and you ask them, while Jesus was on the earth, why was he here? He was here to teach. He was here to draw men to repentance. He was here to captivate the thoughts and minds of men that they may draw near unto God. Now the reason why we consider these thoughts, because even Jesus, one who had to learn obedience, Hebrews 5 and verse number 8, though he were son, yet learned he obedience by the things in which he suffered. Jesus learned obedience, just as we have to learn obedience. Our Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ, if you will, the one that had the ability, according to Luke 5 and verse number 22, to perceive the thoughts of men. Now that's interesting. Here is the God-man on the earth. John 1 verse 1, John 1 verse 14, John 1 verse 18 to declare God. He came and he perceived what was in man's heart. Even to the point that John 2, 24 and 25, Brother Brian, that he did not commit himself to man because he knew what was in man. He knew the thoughts of men. Whether they were evil, Matthew 9 verse 4, or whether they were good, Luke 5, 22. Yet God was so good that he still sent his Son to clean us up, to purify us. I said all that to say this. When I think of Simeon, and this week as I was just pondering Simeon, I've read over Simeon multiple times, but just pondering Simeon. And looking at verse number 35, we'll get to that in a few minutes. But I want us to gather a couple of thoughts as we are kind of flying over, looking at the text. And what can we gather as Jesus, the revealer of thoughts and hearts? And truth be told, we think of Simeon. Notice verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. His name literally means hearken. Listen. The same man was just and devout. I asked myself as I was looking at this and considering the minds of men, my own personal mind, this man was just and devout. Meaning that there was a system of law. There were instructions that Simeon had to uphold in his life. And it made me think about Zacharias and Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 6. And how they were adherents to the law of Moses, Brother Rick Popejoy. This will be my last time saying this in this assembly. And they were blameless. That already tells us that Zacharias and Elizabeth They loved God. They did what God said. They had pure hearts. They had pure minds. They did what was right. And notice something about Simeon. And friends, I believe that this ought to reveal something in our own hearts. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. Literally, he was waiting for the messianic salvation. He was waiting for the consolation, waiting for the comforter. Waiting for the Messiah. He was waiting on Jesus. And the more I considered that, I thought about, even as Christians, aren't we waiting on Jesus too? 1 Timothy, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 5, we're waiting on the revelation of Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8, Paul would say, as he is about to go get his head chopped off, if you will. He knew that there would be those who would be waiting for his appearing. But then notice what he says. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him, that Simeon, by the Holy Spirit. Literally, it was uncovered. The Holy Spirit himself told Simeon that this was going to take place. What was that? That he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's anointed Christ. Can you imagine this godly and devout man being told by the Holy Spirit that you're going to see the Lord's Christ. You're going to see the anointed, Psalm 2 and verse 2. You're going to see the Messiah, Luke 4 and verse 18. You're going to see the one that's going to come and he's going to save man from their sins, Matthew 1, 21. Can you imagine this devout man hearing this from the Spirit himself? And then when we get down later on, we can see why he's so excited. Can you imagine how he himself being devoted to the law and how the Spirit himself tells him that you're going to see the Lord's anointed Christ, the one that God himself is going to be using not only to save mankind, but to teach them about Jehovah, the Lord's Christ. Notice the next verse. And he came by the Spirit. Now, one thing I love about Simeon, that Simeon was obedient to the will of God. He didn't fight God. He came by the Spirit, notice where? Into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, stop. What did they come to do? You would have to go back to the law itself, according to Leviticus chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, with the focal point on verses 4 through 6, and how it was at that time commanded that if a male child broke the womb, that for 33 days the woman was declared impure and had to go through a purification process. On the eighth day, that child had to be circumcised, dedicated to the Lord. If it was a female child, then it was 66 days. But here, in this case, it was 33 days. 33 days that Mary was impure, if you will, going through the purification process. And now she's in the temple, and she's offering up the turtle dove. She's offering up the young pigeons. She's obedient. Joseph's obedient. Friends, this says a lot about their hearts. It reveals a lot about who they are. And we have to ask ourselves that when we come into the house of the Lord, have we already purified our hearts? Have we made things right with God before we partake of the Lord's Supper? And friends, it's important. But notice what he goes on to say in verse number 28. In verses 28 through verse number 32, we see something very powerful from this man. Then took he up in his arms and bless God. Now he has Jesus in his arms. And notice what he says. Lord, now let thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Now friends, here is this man waiting for the consolation of Israel, waiting for the Messiah, waiting for the Christ, if you will. He now sees him. He takes this baby in his arms, and now he's blessing God. The Greek word there is eulogy. He speaks well of God, and this is what we have. We have the very words of Simeon as he blesses God. He says, now, Lord, let thou thy servant depart, literally die in peace, according to your word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. My eyes have seen your defense. My eyes have seen the wall, if you will. I have seen the place where men and women can go and hide inside of. Psalm 144, verse number 2. We consider some of these thoughts, friends, and God himself is teaching us something about this great man and about the Christ. It was going to be Jesus that he was going to be our strong tower. He was going to be our defense. He was going to be the one that we run into for safety, if you will. And Simeon, he says here, for mine eyes have seen your salvation. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 21, his name will be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Question, what does this reveal about Simeon's heart? What does this reveal about my heart, your heart? It ought to reveal that if we're going to be safe, that we got to run to Jesus. No wonder it would be the Apostle Paul who would say that salvation is in Christ. It would be Luke who would write in Acts chapter 4 verse number 12 that salvation is in Jesus. That if we're going to be defended, that we have to go to the Lord, Ephesians 6 and verse number 17. He's our salvation. What did this reveal? He goes on, look at verse 31. Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Now notice what he says in verse number 32. This is so powerful. A light to lighten the Gentiles. I love Jaden's version here. Literally to bring revelation to the Gentiles. And the glory of thy people Israel. Simeon, you knew by inspiration that God was going to be sending Jesus for the Gentiles. He's going to be sending Jesus for the Israelites, yea, for all mankind. What does this teach us? It ought to reveal in our hearts that when we take the gospel out, the good news, the glad tidings, when we're going out there helping people with their character, their moral excellence, that we're helping all men, not y'all men. We're helping everybody. Why? Because all men, God desires to be saved. God wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. We stop and we consider these great words from Simeon, and Jesus was going to be revelation to the Gentiles. He was going to be a light, the light to the world, John 8 and verse 12. John 9 and verse number 5. Friends, stay with me. For it was going to be Jesus Christ himself who was going to make sure that he was going to enlighten and encourage and educate men and women to repentance. What does this say about us? I came up here without a rag and I didn't think I was going to be preaching. What does this say about us? What does this say about the world that God sent his son in as a light in the midst of darkness? What does this say? What does it reveal about me when I don't want to take this light out to this dark world? A world that's full of cursing. A world that's full of immorality. A world that's full of false doctrine. A world that's full of false behavior and bad behavior. It ought to say to me and reveal to me that because I have the light within me. No wonder the Bible demonstrates to us to walk in the light. As he himself is the light. Friends, Simeon knew what was going on. But look at verses 33 through verse number 34. Here we see something again so perfect, so powerful, so enlightening to us. And Joseph and his mother, they marveled at those things. Can you imagine? Now think about this picture that God is showing us. Here you have Simeon, a devout man, a godly man, and he has Jesus in his arms. I don't know about you, but I wish that could have been me. I wish I could have been able to hold the child Jesus. But you know what? We have something even better. We can hold the mind of Christ. Question. What's your defense? What are you holding? What do you have in your mind? Here, Joseph and Mary, they're marveled. They're wondering. An amazement going on here. And the more I considered this, the more I was thinking as I was sitting yesterday, this is so wonderful. This is so great. That here we have Simeon holding to Christ, holding the Anointed One, yet God has given us something even better. He has given us his mindset, Philippians 2 and verse number 5. He has given us the right concept of Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 16. He wants us to be walking according to the Spirit's teaching, Galatians 5 and verse number 16. I can hold the mind of Christ. I really can. And I must and I should. But friends, it gets gooder and gooder. Look what he says in verse number 34. I thought somebody would go give me a rag by now, but I guess not. Let the brother sweat all morning. Well, Brother Bonnie should have got up there and got your own rag. I know. I know why somebody's saying that. Thank you, brother. Look at verse 34. And look at the language closely, friends. Don't run past this. And Simeon blessed them. Now he's blessing Joseph and Mary. At first, in verse 28, he blessed God. Now he's taking the blessings of God, and now he's blessing Mary. You know we ought to be doing that too. Proverbs 3 and verse number 9, we ought to honor the Lord with our possessions. We ought to take what God has blessed us with and bless one another and bless those who need a blessing, who need encouragement, who need to go forward. But notice what he says. Notice how he blessed them. Notice what he said in this blessing. He said to Mary, his mother. Now, it's interesting. It seems as if he's talking to both, but now he focuses in on the mother. Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many nations in Israel. Now let's stop real quick. The reason why we want to stop and consider some thoughts. I'm considering that the focal point is on Mary because at the time of Jesus' death, most likely Joseph was dead. So with that being said, and I'm open for correction on that, but with that being said, he focuses in on Mary, who the Bible demonstrates to us was at the cross of Christ. One of those women, according to Luke's account, that was bewailing and crying and moaning. But notice, friends, what Simeon says, and let's not run past this. Behold, this child, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Savior of the world, is destined, is set for the fall and the rising again of many. The fall there is because of the standard that Jesus Christ was going to bring and that he was going to be revealing the hearts of men, the thoughts of mankind. Man will go into fall at his teaching. But notice the blessing on the other side. The rising again. 42 times this word is used in the New Testament. 41 times it is translated resurrection. Here it is translated rising again. Guess what? We can read it just like that. that this child is set for the fall and resurrection of many in Israel. There is a resurrection coming one day, friends. But before we can enjoy the resurrection, before we can enjoy the standing up, the arising from the dead, we first have to continue to enjoy the rising from the dead of sin. Romans 6 verses 1 through 4. We have to enjoy that. We have to see the pleasure in it. Why? Because number one, Jesus came to save mankind from their sins in order that their thoughts and their hearts may be revealed, and so therefore they can get it right with God. But then notice what he goes on to say. Now, can you imagine, sisters? Can you imagine when your child is about 34 days old? And the reason why I say 34 days old, because from the time in which Jesus was born and the time of the end of the purification is 33 days. And perhaps maybe the very next day, we find Mary and Joseph with Jesus in the temple offering 34 days old. Can you imagine a man that was inspired by God, was told by the Spirit that your son, look at this. Verse 35, yea, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also. The idea there, figuratively, is an extreme anguish will fill your heart, Mary. Friends, he's talking about the cross. He's talking about the scourging and the beating that Jesus took. And can you imagine when they was putting them nails into Jesus Christ and how they're looking at him and how Mary was looking at him? Because the Bible says that the women were standing afar off as they were nailing him to the cross. What does that reveal about our hearts? I put online last night. I can only imagine the hurt and the pain of those who saw Jesus being nailed to the cross. I can only imagine that. I can only imagine my children being nailed to the cross for people who could care less about them. I can only imagine that. Yet, Simeon tells Mary that even your heart is going to be pierced with a cutlass, with a sword. The figurative language there was so striking. And the more that I consider that, I think about my own personal life. Father, I don't want to do that to you. I don't want to do that to no one. And we shouldn't either. And we ought to live our lives with the greatest of moral character, with the highest form of faith, with a true reliance upon Jehovah. Friends, we trust God. And as Mary is rearing up the Christ, she always had that in her mind. And can you imagine when they was beating Christ, scourging Christ, flogging Christ with a cat of nine tails? We need to preach more about the cross. Can you imagine when they was nailing him to the cross while it was on the ground? Can you put that in your mind that when they finally got him nailed to the cross, now they're lifting him up and he falls into that hole on the cross? Can you see that? And the Hebrews writer by inspiration have the great gall to say, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Mary had that in her heart, in her mind, as she looks at her son on the cross, taking on the sin of the world. The question I have to ask myself, you ask yourself this question, what does this reveal about you? What does this reveal about my heart? Am I telling my close friends about the cross? Am I telling my close friends and relatives about the Christ? Am I living out the cross in my life, Luke 9:23, on a daily basis? Do I love the preaching of the cross? Brother Brian, I believe that what Mary went through had to be heartbreaking. But she had faith in God, as we have faith in God, that we trust Jesus Christ. Therefore, we trust the one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Therefore, we trust that the Lord's church is the church of the Scriptures. Therefore, we understand that God desires great moral character out of us, with great soundness of speech, great diligence in Bible reading, great love in children rearing, great honor in holy matrimony. Friends, God wants us to have these things. And notice the end as I leave you with these thoughts, friends. Wow. That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Simeon, what are you saying? I'll be honest, I had to wrestle with that, and I may need to wrestle with it some more. But this is what I got out of the wrestling so far. That cross was going to reveal who loved God and who didn't. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to consider Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I don't know what else to say as it relates to the cross. What He did for us. In essence, that when a person goes down in the watery grave of baptism and has their sins washed away, God is saying there's no reason for you to be lost. You are living with Him now. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ as your Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins. And God will add you to His Son's church. But maybe your child of God, maybe that story hasn't pricked your heart. Maybe what Jesus did on the cross at one time did, but doesn't prick it now. What happens? You just don't have that zeal and that fervor as Apollos had, or as the Roman writer tells us to have, the fervor in business serving the Lord, with zeal and fire. Is that sword piercing? Bible teaches us in John 19:34, this is for us as Christians. That soldier pierced Jesus in the side, and forthwith came blood and water. It's the same blood now that we have been baptized into Christ, and now we're saved every now and then. We find ourselves doing something we have no business doing, saying something we have no business saying. It. We ask God to forgive us. He's faithful just to forgive. All because of that cross. There's some religions that like to leave Jesus in the manger and all the people on the cross. There's some religions that love to leave Jesus on the cross and all the people in the grave. Some don't want to keep him in the grave. All God raised him from the dead. Some want to keep him on the earth. All God raised him up. Now he's sitting on his right hand. Some want to keep him up there, but now he's coming back one day. He's coming back one day. Jesus is coming back. And my responsibility as a gospel teacher, that doesn't matter who likes it or not, is to tell folk that Jesus is coming back. He's coming back one day. And the question I have to ask myself, am I going to be ready when he comes back? Well, Brother Bobby, you didn't have to say it like that. Are you going to be ready when he comes back? Well, Brother Bobby, I don't know about all that. Are you going to be ready when he comes back?